Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the sports betting network. Coming up on the show, the Bear, Chris Felica of Fox Sports will join us. We will go over the Kentucky Derby, NHL playoffs. We'll do some baseball, get his thoughts. Best bets right now, futures awards. Haven't done a ton of baseball, so excited to talk to Bear. But we'll start with the NBA here. And boy, it's been a better first round than you would have expected. You started that Saturday afternoon with the first four games, all chalk, mostly blowouts. The next two games, same thing. And it looked like, man, this first round's a waste of time. It's going to be chalk. It's going to be blowouts. But since then, the games have been pretty good. At least the series have been pretty good, I should say. It's probably more accurate. And we have a hell of a Wednesday night coming up. But on Tuesday, very similar to last week, very similar to game two, Philly, who looks like they're about to, you'll get run out of the gym a couple different times. Boston's about to close the series. Never quite happens. And then Philly ends up winning the game 113-97 to force a game six in Philly on Thursday night. And we get three game sixes on Thursday night. I keep saying about Boston, they are predictably unpredictable, where every time you trust them, they kick a game. Every time, all right, this is a tough spot on the road. Road and home, it's almost like they're better on the road. That goes back for years now. So don't think they're in any real danger of losing the series. I think this probably just delays the inevitable here. I do think we'll get a Knicks-Celtics series here in a couple of weeks, a week or so. The Hawks just are not as good as the Knicks. I mean, you look, it's 3-2 Knicks. And this would now be a very, very bad series loss for the Knicks if they're not able to get one of the next two games here. Figure Knicks, whether it's game six on Thursday, which I lean to, or game seven at home. Atlanta's not winning two in a row here, you wouldn't think. Like I said, it's 3-2 Knicks. One of the losses was the ridiculous, and it was a ridiculous collapse in game two. And game three was a coin flip. The Knicks have pretty much dominated the series. Otherwise, the Knicks just have better players. So I do think we'll get Knicks-Celtics here in a week, like everyone expects. Maybe we'll get a game seven along the way. It's certainly possible. And when you have no skin in the game, game sevens are always fun to root for just because of the drama. So those games are on Thursday. But before that, Wednesday night, the Orlando Magic go for the series win against Detroit. Detroit's laying 10.5, total 211. You also have the Cavs laying 8.5 to the Raptors. And you have the Lakers laying 4.5 here to the Houston Rockets. So all good games. You know, Cleveland and Toronto, you figure that series looked over after two games. It's obviously not now. Toronto still has to win 2 out of 3. One of them has to be on the road here, so it's still advantage Cleveland, but a lot different than it was looking a couple days ago, a few days ago when it was 2-0, a lot different than it was looking at the end of game four when it looked like Cleveland was about to put the series away. But the real story, and Lakers is obviously interesting too, because I do not think that series is over by a long stretch. I think Houston's very live here. I don't think Orlando closes them out. We've just seen this too much where the team that's home, they're desperate. That just carries so much weight. Denver in game five on Monday night buried Minnesota. Well, got a little closer late. Game one, same sort of scenario. Game one into game two where the home team loses game one. They always, almost always win game two and win it comfortably. It's just the desperation, the better team, at least the higher seed at home. That usually carries the day. That being said, man, there's just not 10 and 10.5 point difference between these teams. Wagner, I know, is banged up. That matters. I wouldn't think he's going to play, but there's a lot of guesswork there. And just an ugly, that was an ugly win on Tuesday night, brick after brick after brick. I will say this, though. There were some absolutely, for lack of a better phrase, man-sized rebounds in that game. That was like a football game underneath. That was so physical. Boxing out, it was, you know, like a late 90s, early 2000s, just ugly rock fight of a game where the banked in three finally puts the game away and Orlando is one game away from advancing. And who knows? Maybe it's Tracy McGrady versus Vince Carter. Well, I guess it would be. Yeah, I guess both played for both. You get the idea. Possibly an Orlando-Toronto series. I don't think we're going to get that. But I do think Orlando will probably win a game six here in advance. And for those 40-1, 55-1, 80-1, all of those tickets, hope that's the case. So I would stay away from Orlando in game number five just because the trend is so strong. I'd be surprised if Orlando closed them out. I wouldn't be shocked. I just can't go against that trend. That trend is so strong. I think Cleveland bounces back. I'm not willing to lay 8.5. I'd be a little concerned about the Lakers. I really would be. This is the game where if you don't get this one, game six is on the road. And then game seven, all the pressure's on you. And can you imagine the narratives of LeBron blowing a 3-0 lead, LeBron losing in the first round, which is ridiculous because he doesn't have much around him and he's 41. But to me, that is very much on the table. I think life on the line, the Lakers probably win the game. But I'll take the Rockets here plus the 4.5. If it weren't for that ridiculous collapse on Friday night by Houston, we're sitting here 2-2. And remember, Houston was a $9 favorite in this series. So it's going to happen at some point. Somebody's going to blow a 3-0 lead. When it happens, we're not going to expect it. Just like we didn't expect it when the Yankees were up 3-0 and won game 3, 19-8. Wouldn't be shocked here if we got a game 6. Wouldn't be shocked if we got a game 7. Obviously, you have to favor the Lakers. They're up 3-1 and they still got 2 at home. But I don't think Houston is dead here. I was surprised how many people thought Houston was just going to roll over in game 4 on Sunday. A lot of people thought Charlotte was Orlando was going to roll over against Charlotte a couple weeks ago. I think we're learning. These teams don't really quit in professional sports. It's a dangerous angle to have on the game. Say, oh, this team is going to quit. They might. Sometimes they do, I guess, but that's a dangerous way to approach the sport. So, fun couple nights of NBA. Let's root for our Magic, and let's talk to the Bear, Chris Felica, Fox Sports. That is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. You can catch him, Fox Sports, Bear Bets podcast. And he joins us now. It is the great Chris Felica. Bear, Derby week. I'm sure you're a busy guy. Thanks for making some time.
Of course. Yeah, no, it's certainly a great week, a great time of the year. It's the week where people you haven't spoken to for a year since the previous Derby send you the text and looking for a Derby winner. So hopefully I can come up with a little something for them this week. But it looks like the weather is going to be great. So it looks like we're going to get fast track, firm turf, full field. So hopefully we can find some prices.
For the casual horse racing fan, or even less than the casual horse racing fan, what is, I don't know, 3 to 4 storylines, bullet points, the things that you're going to be talking about ad nauseum this week and repeating a million times? What are the 3 or 4 like takeaways, kind of keys to the race?
Well, I think the number one storyline is the morning line favorite, Renegade, who drew the rail, which historically is not the place you want to be to be able to have a winning type race. Renegade also has been working out with 3/4 shoes to kind of, the word is he's had some sore feet and potentially some quarter cracks, which could obviously hinder him. So we're going to see if that affects him on Saturday. So the combo of the rail and the sore feet potentially could be a problem. We have a storyline potentially brewing with the horse named the Puma, who I'm sure is going to get a lot of support and backing. The word is rumoredly, that Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift have bought a potential stake in this horse. So if you like the Puma in this race, you're probably not going to get fair odds on the horse, but the horse does look like he figures a lot. Another storyline in this race, I think, surrounds Chief Wallaby, a horse that I believe a bunch of people think might be the best horse in the race, but you have a couple of really interesting type things here where you've got Bill Mott throwing blinkers on this horse for the first time in the Kentucky Derby, which usually when you're going a route of ground like this, blinkers might key the horse up a little bit and make the horse run a little bit faster, a little bit too early. So I don't know if that's necessarily a great thing, but I like this horse, and I think if Bill Mott sees fit to put blinkers on the horse, I have to potentially trust his methodology here and his reasoning. So those are, I think, are the big three type storylines around this race that we have going on, that a lot of the human interest type story this week will certainly be surrounding the horse So Happy, who is the number 8 horse, the trainer Mark Glatt. His wife tragically passed away a few months back, won the Santa Anita Derby, and now he has his first Kentucky Derby runner. So if you're looking for a good human interest story to get behind, the number 8 horse, So Happy, will be a horse that you're going to be rooting for.
Is there a horse you hear getting a lot of buzz that you don't necessarily buy?
A horse getting a lot of buzz that I don't necessarily buy? Yeah, of course. I think anytime you look at the Bob Baffert horses, and maybe Bob Baffert can steal the race. I don't see it really at all with any of these horses. The Japanese horses, Denon Bourbon and Wonder Dean. Look, I know a couple of years ago, Forever Young nearly won the Derby. I think was at a different level than either of these horses. Every year, it seems like people are looking for a reason to bet these horses. They want to say that they had a horse from Japan the first time one of these horses won the race. I can't get behind either of those horses. And I'm not on board with Renegade. I'm really concerned about the draw. I'm concerned about the feet. I had heard rumors that he wasn't doing great coming out of the Arkansas Derby, so I am not behind him. And the other concern that I have has to do with Chief Wallaby, a horse that I just mentioned, a horse that I like and I want to get behind. And I think he really, really, really fits the type of running style that you want to win the Derby. A lot of people are seeing the same things I am. He's 8-1 on the morning line. He's probably not going to be 8-1. I hate betting these underlay type horses in a race where there's a 20-horse field and you should be able to get a little bit fairer odds. Now, maybe if the Puma takes some more money, maybe the odds on Chief Wallaby will be a little bit better. But anytime you see a lot of these horses, the odds plummet a little bit. Like the Puma, the odds on the Puma are definitely going to go through through the ground once it gets out there and you see Taylor Swift, you see Travis Kelce. Like every Swiftie in the world is going to bet on that horse.
Absolutely. Odds to finish last. I think you hit this 2 or 3 years ago. And if you didn't, you know what? We'll give you credit anyway. You get one on the house. Do you like anyone here, a horse to finish last?
I'm trying to break down the pace of the race and how I think it's going to be run. I think potentially maybe a horse like Litmus Test could potentially be a horse that is going to be in the mix to finish last. Bob Baffert adds blinkers to this horse. The horse loves to be on the front end. He doesn't class out at all, in my opinion, in this race. So I think with a horse that's going to be on the front end, like Litmus Test, I think he could be potentially in the mix to finish last. Another horse who, Intrepido, the three horse, is a horse that just worked an insanely fast 45-second 4-furlong work a couple of days ago. His trainer, Jeff Mullins, was not happy about that. I don't think this horse will finish last. Like the running style, he kind of has that grind-it-out type style, which leads me to believe that he will carry his speed, his endurance over 1.25 miles. But if that work really took a lot out of him, he's another one that I think you could see finish last. But if I had to look, I haven't seen any prices on this yet, but I would think that Litmus Test will probably be one of the more likely favorites, along with probably Six Speed to be the other one. I think those will probably be the two shortest shots to finish last. And then you'll have to look, maybe I'll look for another horse that I know a few years ago, I think it was Just a Touch, who might have finished last, who was my pick to win the race, and he did not run well at all. A lot of times you can get one of these horses that, for whatever reason, they don't take to the track, they don't get a trip. So if you can try and maybe read between the lines a little bit and try and find a horse that you think might be too close to a pace that might not get the 1.25 miles, you might be able to find one of the contenders on paper that really isn't a contender and they could fade to last. But I would think Litmus Test will probably be my pick to finish last.
Was it 2 years ago or 3 years ago you had a monster Derby? I remember you hit, I can't remember if it was...
Two years ago with Mr. Penn.
On your way to vacation or something, yes. Right? On your way to one of your many vacations, as
yes,
we
know. Yes, exactly. I think that was vacation number 2 of 3 on the year. But yeah, that was Mystic Dan winning the race at 20-something to 1. The track came up a little off later in the day, and that turned out to be, he got a great trip inside from Brian Hernandez Jr., and that capped off a very nice day where I had a bunch of pick threes, pick fours, and good little win bet and a nice Derby future on a longer price future on him than I did what he won off the day of the race. So yeah, that 2 years ago worked well. Last year, anytime you get, I did have Sovereignty, but you weren't going to make a ton of money in that race. And you had the best three horses in the race. Finished 1, 2, 3 with Sovereignty, Journalism, and Baeza. And then you had a logical closer clunk up for fourth. So anytime you're going to get a race like that, kind of holding very formful, that's probably not going to be a race where I do my best, but I did have a good bit of sovereignty last year, so I was happy he won.
Derby Day is a top what day of the sports calendar for you?
Derby weekend is certainly, you got to include the Oaks over the 2 days because you get a lot of 2 day type wagers, and it works out great because sometimes I go, sometimes I don't. I'm not going this year. The weather, like I said, of course, the weather is going to be great, but that's the risk you take in the entire weekend where if the weather is bad and you're there, it really takes a lot of sting and excitement and positivity out of the weekend. But I would say it's easily top five for me. The college football playoff quarterfinal day, semifinal day are certainly up there. NCAA tournament, that the Sweet 16 days are certainly there. NFC, AFC conference championship days, certainly up there. Belmont Day is certainly an exciting day for me, just growing up in New York in terms of the handicapping. Now, the last couple of years, with the field sizes haven't necessarily been great, but yeah, it's a top five day for sure.
Right now, Major League Baseball, Bear, of all the bets you can make, season win totals, futures awards, is there one bet above every other that you would make?
Phillies win total under. I know as we were recording this right after the Phillies didn't make a managerial change, but I don't think this is a good team at all. I think this is a team on the decline. I saw some 82 and a half wins out there the other day. I'm sure it's down to like 80 and a half potentially now, but I think in that division with the Braves being really good, who knows what's going to wind up happening with the Marlins and with the Mets, and even the Nationals aren't as bad as we thought. I just don't think this Phillies team is a contender this year. So I think Phillies win total under is a good one. And I'm curious if you can kind of arb off each other and just kind of pick off the prices and just kind of do a 2-for-1 with National League Rookie of the Year with Sal Stewart and Nolan McClain. It would kind of be shocking if it wasn't one of those two guys, right? Like McClain has been just dealing. Stewart is one of the best hitters in the league right now on a Reds team that isn't necessarily offensively great, but it feels like those two guys are the two clear front runners for Rookie of the Year. Maybe you hook them up with Shohei to win NL MVP because barring injury, we don't think, I mean, he's gonna win again. But the one bet that I come back to now, and now I'm getting a little bit excited about it, was the bet that you made with Ben Rice to be American League MVP. Like the odds have come down quite a bit, and I think slowly people are coming around on how good of a hitter, how good of an eye at the plate. He's always on base. His OPS is through the roof. He can hit lefties, and I think it's just a matter of Boone putting him in the lineup every day regularly, but you bet him at 100-1 or 80-1, whatever it is, and his price has come down quite a bit. Like I don't think you're going to see the Jose Ramirez's of the world. Bobby Witt, the Royals are terrible. Alvarez, the Astros are terrible. Like, I think that bet is super live, bud.
150-1, about, I don't know, a month or so ago. So
sure, changed, yeah.
Hey, I'll take it. Who's the worst team? Who do you think will work? Right now, Mets and Phillies were recording this before the Tuesday games, as we all expected. Mets and Phillies tied for the worst record. Hard to believe. Who ultimately do you think ends up with the worst record in baseball?
Well, I was high on the Giants for a while, but they kind of seem to have righted the ship a little bit. I think maybe one of those teams in the American League Central, whether it's look, everyone got excited about the Twins with that hot start, but I think now they've lost like 10 of 12 or something like that. They water has kind of returned to the proper level there. And the Royals, like I said, are not very good. I think those two teams have some really good prices right now to be the worst team. I don't think the Royals, Reagan's has kind of struggled. Bubic has been okay, but he's kind of not been what they thought he would be. Everyone got excited about the lineup. They're bringing in the fences and what Caglione and Sally Meatballs and Bobby Witt, look what they're going to do. And they just kind of stink. So I think the Royals and the Twins, I think it's still got some value there. Again, are we throwing money away? Are we lighting money on fire against potentially the White Sox or the Rockies or the Cardinals? Maybe, but the Nationals. But those teams certainly have shown a little spunk, especially early on.
NHL, we get three games on Wednesday. It is Tampa and Montreal. Tampa minus 175 favorite. Philly and Pittsburgh. Flyers and Penguins with Philly a small favorite. And then Vegas, VKG, a minus 162 favorite over the Mammoth. Mammoth still gets some getting used to in terms of saying that, just coming off the tongue. Anything you like in those three games?
I don't know necessarily about the games, but I would still be interested in a series price on the Canadiens. Now, I know they're going to have to get up off the bat after pissing away a 2-0 lead the other night. They got up 2-0, got a power play to go up 3-0, and could have gone up 3-1 in that series, and they wound up blowing that and losing the game 3-2. They go back to Tampa 2-2, but as someone who's watched a lot of these series, and Montreal has been the better team for about 80% of the series. In hockey, we know that doesn't always equal wins and points and goals, but Tampa is a team that has played stupid all year long. They've kind of been taking dumb penalties, most penalized team in the league, and it's just carried over to the postseason. Montreal, I think, is worth a play still in the series as well. And I would look at Buffalo to win the East. I know Carolina is already advanced, and probably Buffalo was behind both Tampa and Carolina in terms of odds to win the conference. I think Buffalo, once they got that loss out of their way in game two, they came back in Boston and just blew the Bruins away. They'll close their series out. And that team is good. They're almost like too young and too inexperienced to know any better, but they can score goals if they can get any decent goaltending. I think there's a really good, maybe. What kind of price can we get on a Sabres-Avs Stanley Cup final right now? Because I think that's kind of live.
Yeah, and the thing I meant to mention earlier, too, when you were talking about Ben Rice, I don't know if DK reworked their configuration here with the home screen, but I can't find awards quickly. I noticed futures had kind of bounced around, so they don't always make it the easiest. They're not bad, but it's just when you're constantly moving stuff around, you're getting used to you know, certain
things. Seems like there's a redesign a lot there, and they a lot of time. I mean, actually, as we're recording, there aren't any games going on. I know once games go on, they'll take games, they'll take categories and stuff down. I think FanDuel probably has odds up right now for awards. They're always very, very good. Yeah, awards, AL MVP, Benny Rice, 20-1.
Not bad.
Aaron Judge plus 170, Jordan Alvarez plus 270, Bobby Witt Jr., unplayable, 11-1, Gunnar Henderson, 15-1, Trout, 15-1, Ben Rice, 20-1, Jose Ramirez, 20-1. He's live.
You know what that sounds like to me, Bear? That sounds like that pile's about to get bigger of the good bet, close, but get them next time with Miami and college football, UConn, Wembanyama, you go on and on.
Yeah, I was going to say, Nick, Conn, UConn, Wemby, all those bets. It's going to be good when you see the most valuable player in the NBA, SGA, and I can put the 75-1 on Wemby ticket in the Spurs 45-1 to win the title. We could put that one in there in a couple weeks, too.
Do we wrap, or do you want to have do you have an NBA take here?
I like your Magic take quite a bit. I like the Spurs, man. I think they are super live. I know we're kind of viewing it through the prism of our bet, but I think San Antonio is super live, and I kind of like your. I think I saw the Rockets are now plus 500. To come back and win that game. Like, it was comical the other night just to see, like, it's amazing that the Lakers are up 3-1 in this series. Like, with the players that they're putting on the court,
it's
kind of funny. Last night, the Magic game, kind of coincided with the intermission in the first period from the Vegas Utah game. So I flipped it on just in time to see the that wonderful exhibition
both
a basketball. Yeah, in the final 5 minutes, that was about as ugly. What do you think ultimately is going to happen there? Do you think Franz is going to be out a while? Have you heard anything? Because if he can play, like what in the next round is going to scare you between the Cavs and the Raptors? Like if you're holding that 40-1 to win the East, and they're in the conference final, you can monetize that bad boy pretty well.
Again, 55-1 for Fox Sports last week, a little 81 before that. So, it's we're not in the next round. There's a long way to go, but feeling pretty good about it. And, yeah, that was tough to watch Orlando. And Detroit wasn't tough to watch from an Orlando perspective in getting the win. But I will say this. There were some physical, grown-sized man rebounds in that game.
Yeah.
That was like a football game under the boards.
Yeah, I think there was one instance where Orlando had the ball and it looked like there potentially was a foul. They got like four offensive rebounds and looked like there might have been a foul like on every one, and nothing was called. But good. Let them play. Give us a little 90s Knicks Bulls type NBA. It was good stuff.
If I was on the floor and those rebounds, those shots were going up, I'd say, you know what? You guys figured out. I'll stand over here on the perimeter. Maybe
exactly.
The ball bounced to me. Good luck.
Exactly.
Bear, you're the best, man. Busy week
that's
for
a
you.
College
good
football.
Luck.
We got college time for college football?
Please.
I made a couple of college football bets. I can't remember if I gave out with you already. Colorado under 4.5 wins. Florida State under 6.5 wins. And Michigan under 8.5 wins. I have those three season win totals in pocket. I also made the drive to Massachusetts before the NFL draft to be able to play some draft stuff, which was good. And you can do a same game parlay, cross parlay with the odds to make the college football playoff. So I got a little +117 three-legged make the college football playoff parlay, Miami, Notre Dame, and Oregon, three teams that are going to be in the preseason top six, that it would be a shock if none of them, if any of those teams don't make the college football playoffs. So hopefully that's available. I'm probably going to have to take another ride to Massachusetts here in a day or two, maybe go dump a little bit more into that and see what they'll let me bet.
It'll be here before you know it, Bear. Appreciate it, man. Bear Betts, Fox Sports, at Chris Felik on Twitter. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely, bud. Be good.
All right, that'll do it. Rate, review, subscribe. Be back on Friday. Enjoy the games. See you then.